All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Defeating the Curse. It is Sunday, March 12th. We got the whole gang here. One guy is just coming off of a half marathon. I'm sure he'll find a way to drop that into the episode. The other two guys have been busy keeping up with DC sports, and we got a lot to talk about. And we have made a very thin promise to not talk about the R word. And that word for today is Redskins, okay? We are sick of talking about Redskins. We recorded an entire podcast a few days ago about the Redskins, and you didn't hear it because it didn't get posted. But we are not speaking about the Redskins because we got too many good things going on in D.C. right now. And the best thing we got going on right now is we have the hottest team in the NBA. The best record over the last 30 games, the Washington Wizards. They are the hottest thing nationally, and they're just coming off one of their most impressive victories, 21-point comeback in overtime in Portland. They're on the West Coast right now, and they're killing this West Coast road trip. So let me pose a question to you three gentlemen. We'll start with Fat Paul. Most impressive thing you've seen over the last few months with the Wizards?
It's got to be the way that their bench is playing. I mean, that was probably one of the biggest complaints from almost all Wizards fans at the start of the season. I remember me and the other Paul were talking about how the bench just wasn't up to par, and there's no way going late into the season that we were going to be able to compete if our bench comes in cold, and then you got to keep giving the starters all the minutes and not rest.
I'm going to go next. I want to answer that question too. I'll tell you, there's a couple of things that have been really impressive. Back-to-back overtime wins against a mediocre Kings team, but an up-and-coming and a pretty solid Trailblazers team. I mean, that game last night, I was up late to watch it, and I'm glad I stayed up because the backcourt versus backcourt, the back and forth between Lillard and Wall in particular, it was just awesome to watch them go back and forth. But this team has gutted out two back-to-back overtime wins on subsequent nights, on Friday and Saturday night. They're one game away from sweeping, winning all five of these away games, which, you know, a week ago we said if they pick up 3 of 5, maybe 4 of 5, it would put them in a great spot to be competitive in the East and really challenge Boston for that second spot. I know Boston won today, but wow, look at how well this team is playing. I mean, this is going back a couple weeks here. Going back to February 28th, beat the Warriors, beat the Raptors, then lost to the Raptors, then beat the Magic barely, beat the Suns by 4, beat the Nuggets by 10, beat the Kings by 8, beat the Blazers by 1. The one thing I'm seeing, that point, that victory margin is getting smaller, but the W's keep on coming. They're playing great basketball. I think a little bit we'll probably talk about what they're not doing so well right now. Kelly Oubre is a ghost. Otto Porter is way down in some of his production as well, but the team looks great. I've been so impressed with them. They got one more tomorrow at the Wolves, and if they win all five, is there anybody better in the East right now? Especially, I know the C's won today. We'll see what happens with the Cavaliers later on tonight, but yeah, who wants to play the Wizards right now in a playoff series? Nobody.
Yeah, so let me jump in here. I completely agree with you, Joe. The one thing that I think is underestimated here is the Wizards actually have the best record in the East versus the West. I mean, we took down Golden State, took down Oklahoma City. There's been a lot of good teams that we've taken down. But what's been most impressive to me, and I'm going to kind of spin this, you know, from a little bit of a negative perspective, but what's most impressive to me is that when a team is hot, it's usually all five starters, five starters plus the three bench players that are playing. They're all usually hitting on all cylinders. What's most impressive to me is that it's not been that. Marcin Gortat has not been on a hot streak. Markieff Morris until yesterday was not on a hot streak. Otto Porter was in a little bit in a slump. The Wizards are just finding bench players, finding ways to just make these games competitive and then actually pulling it out in the end. Yesterday's game, they were trailing to the Trailblazers 21 points in the fourth quarter. The night before to the Kings, the couple nights before that to Phoenix, they've been in big holes in the fourth quarter to a lot of these teams, and bad teams just find ways to lose these games. The Wizards have actually found a way to win these games. That's what's been most impressive to me. It's not one player. It's the team as a whole finding a way to come through in the time where it's that need.
You know, I agree with you. I agree with you, but it's the play of one person in particular. John Wall is incredible. and his will to just force this team to continue to play, continue to compete, you know, kind of do that smack the floor and buckle down on defense and then attack the rim on offense. He came in at one point, I believe it was on both nights, on Saturday night and on Friday night. He came into the game and just was possessed. He was determined to get to the rim. He was determined to get some free throws, just change the style of play, and it proved to be great. I agree with you. There are some negative things that we have to keep in mind here. Otto Porter he's down to 11. He's averaging 11 points since Bojo joined the team, down from 14. He's down to 30% from 3-point as opposed to 46. So, yeah, some things are a little bit unsettling. As I mentioned, Kelly Oubre, no one's seen him. He's down to, like, I think he's averaging like 6 minutes since that trade. So the bench has gotten better as a whole, but some of the pieces that were instrumental over the first half of the season, they're just not as instrumental. And I'm okay with that personally. I've been watching basketball a long time, and I for me, looking at this team, they just have something different that they haven't had in the past. They're determined to win.
And it goes back to what Paul said and what you just concluded with, Joe, is we were saying, or I was saying actually, I think on episode one or two, that come April, May, can they find a way to close out games? Can they find a way to win games? Can they find a way to maximize these end-of-game possessions? And Paul, what you said, they are finding ways to win. That's something we're not used to. We're used to teams finding ways to lose, especially with the Wizards. They always used to find a way to lose a game, blow a 10-point lead, blow a big possession, blow a fast break or an easy bucket. They are finding ways to win, and they're winning in different ways. So, yeah, 1 week it is, you know, three-point shooting and Bojo and Porter and all these guys and Beal. Another time it's you know, in the paint points, and they're getting the big men are putting in everything and offensive rebounds and controlling the paint. So they're finding ways to win in different ways, and that's what you need in April and May to be able to go head-to-head with a Cleveland. I watched Boston today, and I you know, admittedly haven't watched a lot of Celtics games. They look damn good, and Isaiah Thomas is really, really good. So I'm not saying it's going to be easy, because I still think they'll lose to Cleveland or even Boston. Just because the playoff experience, I don't know if they can hang come April and May with LeBron and his crew. I mean, is this city ready for an Eastern Conference Finals against the Cavs? I mean, is the phone booth ready?
Hold on. You can say posse on this podcast, okay? If LeBron has an issue with that, he knows where to find me, okay? I'm not scared of him. So LeBron and posse. LeBron, maybe not, I don't know, but that team is nothing that scares me personally. No Bogut, his leg exploded. No Love, I think whatever happened to him. That team doesn't scare me. And frankly, I've said this before too, any team where the strength of that, or any opposing team, if the strength of their team is their point guard, which is the Celtics, and to some extent the Cavaliers, I'll take John Wall. He may not be the better overall player, but I like the way he leads this team, and the pieces are in place. And frankly, for me, the X factor right now, as amazing as Wall is playing, Bradley Beal over his last 20, I think he's pushing 27 points a game. He's not missing. He's taking the right shots at the right time, and that's something that, you know, when he wasn't injured, he struggled to find that rhythm. This is really the first season that, as a Wizards fan, I'm watching him, and I'm saying, wow, he was absolutely worth the max contract. But more importantly, he's matured as a player. Like, he understands the game a little bit better. And there's a lot of movement. The offense just looks better. And that's what Scott Brooks said he was going to do, was run a better offense. And he's doing it. I think as a town, we slept on this team when the Kevin Durant fiasco happened or didn't happen. But here we are in early March talking about not just playoffs, but potentially home court advantage. And really, the beeline to the Eastern Conference Finals. I love this team. I love the way they're playing.
I don't think this team has peaked either. I mean, I think that there's so much potential for this team. I mean, when you just brought in two players within the month, and, you know, it took them a couple games, but they've kind of picked it up. You see Mahimi the other night. I think he had double-digit points and, you know, 9 or 10 rebounds. And the big thing with him, look at all the steals he's getting. He's getting 4 or 5 steals a game for a center. I mean, that's kind of crazy. I don't think this team has reached its potential, but I would just be cautious about setting expectations really high a month before, you know, postseason. Let's take it one series at a time. I think the key is to stay in the 2 or the 3 spot. You know, you don't want to see Cleveland until the finals, the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not really worried about Boston. I don't. They're a good team. They don't really have the experience. Who's gonna? If Isaiah Thomas isn't on his game, who else is really gonna take the buck there?
What I want to bring up is, aside from the other teams and the potential competition, my biggest thing is, so far, especially and you can see it more so on the road trip. We have great players. They're all performing at a high level, but unfortunately, the recipe is the same. We have to push out last minute rescues. We have to fight to the last minute. We can't go ahead and just win without exhausting ourselves every game. And I don't know if that's going to carry over into April.
Well, that's a good point, right? But they've won 7 out of 8. They get to play the Timberwolves tomorrow. Potentially, they're going to go 8 wins out of 9, and then they get the Mavericks at home, they get the Bulls at home, and they go on the road to the Hornets. I mean, earlier in the season, they had that incredible homestand where, you know, the wins at home. They were playing really good ball. The All-Star break happened. They seemed to miss their groove. They lost it to the Sixers, I think, coming out of the break. They didn't look like themselves. But here they are now. They're 100% back on track. They're not winning by huge margins, but they're winning. And they have another, you know, I don't think they'll lose to the Timberwolves. I don't think they'll lose to the Mavericks. I don't think they'll lose to the Bulls. And I don't think they'll lose to the Hornets. So, you know, that gap between in the standings between where they're sitting now, tied for second or third and second, kind of volleying back and forth, I think they can close it. And if Cleveland drops one tonight, which I think they will, that gap's going to close it. Well, I don't want to be like the super optimist here, but they have a shot at being the number one seed in the Eastern Conference from this point moving forward.
Let me ask, because all of this optimism and all of this kind of this big push, have Wizards fans forgiven Ernie Grunfeld? Are we good with Grunfeld? Because his incompetence is almost as bad as another team president down in Ashburn, which we will not say the name. But, I mean, people wanted his head off for a long time. The Ian Mahimi big contracts, all these big contracts that he gave out. Now, all of a sudden, he gets Bojo. And people are, have we moved on? Are we good with Grunfeld?
I think it's the what have you done for me lately theory with Grunfeld. I mean, he's been here for so long. He's had so many horrible pickups, so many horrible drafts. And then, you know, he comes in the middle of the season and makes a good trade. I think with him, it's definitely what have you done for me lately. I think as long as the Wizards are winning, as long as there's a chance, I think the Wizards fans will forgive. As soon as this thing goes south, I mean, who knows? I think this thing can probably be a little worse than what we have down in Ashburn.
I mean, winning cures everything. Winning cures all. It doesn't matter what sport or what team we're talking about, especially in D.C., winning cures all. That's it. That's all fans care about right now, because we've been so deprived for so long on every team. Winning cures all.
Another thing we gotta think about, the Wizards
hold on. Winning cures, I get it. They cures a lot. Has Grunfeld brought an actual big name talent to the city that you would think somebody you consider a big name talent?
John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter.
He drafted them. I'm saying. I don't want to just point at the other teams in the league, but even a team like the Spurs, who are consistently good in 20 years of 50 wins and 20 years of playoffs, they still go out and acquire talent. They still go out and they make trades. They bring in talent. I mean,
who does Phil Jackson bring in?
Dennis Rodman.
In the last decade in New York. Okay, in New York president.
Your point is absolutely wrong, because he drafted the three of the five starters and then brought in two of the rest of the five in free agency.
What about all
or
his
in
other
trade.
Draft picks? What about all the other draft picks? What about the horrible contract he gave to Thornton over the summer?
No, but the whole bunch is okay. But that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're asking if we forgive Grunfeld. I don't forgive Grunfeld.
Yeah.
The best thing that happened, hold on. The turning point in the Wizards franchise was the ownership change. And again, we're not going to talk about the R word, but ownership change, attitude change. They got that stupid name off the jersey, at least the home jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Things start to roll. Grunfeld was starting, he's at least being held accountable right now. And I personally think someone told him he needs to own the mess he made this offseason, and he did it. And he did a good job bringing in Bojo and just kind of reworking this team on the fly. But I'm sorry, he's not a top 15 executive in this league, in my opinion.
But to his credit,
oh, no way. No one said he was. There's no one. No one said he was. We were asking, can he be forgiven right now? And I think the answer is he is forgiven as long as the Wizards are winning. I don't think anyone thinks he's a top 15 exec in any sport.
And to his credit, I mean, if you swing and miss on KD and you're still playing for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, then you're doing something. Okay, I respect that. Most teams that they go all in on KD, they miss. And I mean, they're rebuilding for 5 years. This guy, they went all in on KD. They missed out on it, and they're still contending because of his draft picks. So, no, I'm in the tank for Grunfeld. I don't think he's done as much. But let's change gears here for a second, because Thomas Boswell wrote an article today in the Washington Post, and he was talking about the mess going on in Ashburn, and he was encouraging fans, just like the four of us, to start dating around, was his term. And he kept on saying how we have been in a abusive, a negative relationship with the team in Ashburn, and it's time to move on and date other teams here in the city. As he was doing this whole little gimmick with the marriage thing. And he wasn't saying to divorce that team in Ashburn, but he was saying that we need to invest in the teams that are doing well positively, and support them and get behind them, and we'll be better people, essentially, is what he was saying. Now, my question is, do we buy that? And if so, how does that look? And let's go to Joe Talks Enough. Let's go to Little Paul.
Yeah, I read the article. At first, I was pissed off because it's just a typical Washington Post thing to do and to bash the team. But then I read a little further, and I'm like, man, this guy really has a point. And I think it's an internal struggle as us hardcore DC fans is, you know, there's the through and through, through thick and thin, I'm a fan of the team. And then there's absolute abuse of what this team is doing to us. And, you know, it's just, I think is it possible? Maybe. I think as soon as they make a big move, as soon as, you know, I don't know, Cousins is signed long-term, I don't know, Terrell Pryor is here and, you know, running on the field in snow and catching balls and stuff like that, like he showed in today's video. Fans are going to be in the tank again. I think, you know, I don't know. I go back and forth. It's you know, at least they're trying. At least they're trying.
I think the biggest thing is, aside from the R word, the other three teams, mainly the Nationals and the Capitals, right? The Wizards are just kind of starting to get on that path, but mainly the Capitals and the Nationals, from an outsider's view in, those are franchises that everybody looks at. Like in the football world, you're like, man, I wish we could be like the Patriots. I wish we could be like Green Bay. If I'm not mistaken, and Steve, you could probably speak for the Nationals a little bit more, everybody looks at the Capitals and the Nationals from the outside in, like, man, those are really well-run franchises. And we have standout players, and we're constantly at the top of the pile. Like, we're the cream of the crop. Like, we're doing everything well. And then the Wizards, I mean, we just had the conversation about it. They're slowly getting their solid draft picks and all of that. The R word, they just haven't shown us anything. I mean, it's just, for 20 years, it's been garbage.
Well, can we get behind another team? Yes. Should we get behind another team? Probably. it's probably going to be, for me, if I had to pick one, it's going to be the Caps. I think you guys are, not to kind of go back here, but Ernie Grunfeld sucks. And the Wizards are just as likely to rip our hearts out by getting to the mm-hmm. Eastern Conference Final and then drafting some other unknown. I don't know. Ernie Grunfeld, if I recall correctly, is completely obsessed with European, tall European guys, right? Do we forget that he drafted John Ramos? He was like 7'9" or something, who played like 5 minutes. Or Vesely or Vladimir Vermenenko. There's a whole list. I'm looking at a site of all of Ernie's ridiculous draft picks made on height alone. I'm looking at passing on the likes, trading. Listen, let's just listen to this. This is the guy who traded the number 5 pick in the 09 draft for Mike Miller, Foy. Okay? If that's not a Redskins thing to do, well, it is a Redskins thing to do. So can we do it as a talent? You know, Boz's column was great, and I think he's got some points, but it's, you know, it's WAPO sensationalism, and I'm not a big fan of it, but it was a good read. It's a boring, to me, it was a little lazy, and it was like, oh, I got to write something, so let me just kind of kick the team that's down and make it look like I care, but he doesn't really care.
Well, and then he also doesn't know Scott McLuhan's name because he called him Scott McLaughlin.
Nobody knows his name.
Look, I'll tell you, actually, I'm with Joe for the first time in my life. I'm with Joe in the sense of it was a lazy article because I'll tell you what, as the only D.C. resident here among the four of us, I'll tell you what, you're walking through Navy Yard basically February to, I don't know, November, and people are repping the Nats. Everywhere you go, there's Nats hats everywhere. There's Nats shirts everywhere. The stadium is full April to October, whenever they're playing. I mean, around the stadium, at least, Navy Yard, the waterfront, Capitol Hill, this is a Nats town. If you go downtown to Chinatown around the Verizon Center, there's tons of Wizards paraphernalia everywhere. There's tons of Cap stuff everywhere. I think in the suburbs is more Redskins country than in the city. I think in the city, there is this affinity for the teams that play in the city because people like us residents here live in the city, so we appreciate those stadiums that are in the city. I think there's a divide between the suburbs and the city here. I think the city people have moved on from the Redskins because we see it every day. We see the Nats in Navy Yard and we see the Wiz and Caps in Chinatown. So I think Boz's column is lazy in the sense of he doesn't really see what's going on.
I think just, like, I got a couple more for you. Hold on, real quick.
Of course you do. Go ahead, Joe.
4 years, 32-year-old Antoine Jameson, 4-year extension, $50 million. Gilbert Arenas,
this
after his leg.
This is going to be a Grunfeld contract.
Joe. $111 million for 6 years.
Look, move on from him and look at ownership, Joe. Look at ownership. That's what we're talking about.
$38 million for 6 years. Ownership is one thing. The guy running the team trades draft picks and gives away money all the time. And it hasn't been until very recent history that he's actually built a team. And keep in mind, I love the Bojo trade that he executed and Brendan James, I think, helped the team down the stretch. But if there's one GM in town right now that's employed by one of the four big teams who's likely to make a completely backwards decision in the offseason, it's Ernie. So,
right, but
you guys are letting him off real easy.
The key is we have good ownership. So the reason why all his mistakes aren't resulting in complete disaster like the R word is because we're keeping the high decision makers intact. We're keeping the franchise as a whole intact. That's why, yeah, we can afford sometimes to make those huge mistakes and still have a good product on the court, the field, the ice, whatever. Well, not the field, but you know what I'm saying. The franchises and those ownerships, specifically ones in D.C., like Steve was saying, people will rep that gear because they're respected franchises in their own sport, right, in their own league. I know for me personally, there's times that I'm embarrassed to walk around with, like, a Redskins mug at work
100%.
Or a lanyard or wear my jersey.
100%.
Like, I love that team, but there's sometimes I'm like, man, everyone's going to look at me filling up gas in this Redskins hoodie, and they're just going to be like, huh. Nice team, buddy. Like, it's sad. Like, of course I'll wear my Nationals hat over my whatever player jersey that probably ended up leaving the team 16 minutes after I buy the jersey.
Like, I'm just going to say this. I feel like white trash when I wear Redskins stuff. I just, that's how I feel. I don't know if it's right or wrong.
It's gotten to that point. Trash. I agree.
I feel like I should be wearing a wife beater, maybe beating up my wife. I need to be doing something.
Two words, discount bin. So can I share some more information about Ernie Grunfeld's bad decisions? Can I
tell you something? we gotta live in the present, okay? We have a team that potentially can be in the Eastern Conference Finals, has potential for a number one seed in the East, is a good team. The Wizards have continuity.
Don't forget
with Grunfeld.
the Caps too. Just putting it out there.
You're being like Washington Post and so negative. We gotta cut the negativity, Joe.
JaVale McGee, I don't know, Andre Blotch, remember him? Remember rolling with Dre? That lasted, what, like five seasons too long?
Look,
are you trying to apply for GM?
I don't know if I'm qualified, but I'll give it a shot.
let's get out on this question. I think we answered it before, but let's narrow it down. Wiz versus Caps right now. All the money in your pocket, you got to bet on one of them to make it to the finals of their respective leagues. Who you got? Wiz versus Caps. Forget about Nat. Wiz Caps.
I'm going Caps.
Yeah, let's go Fat Ball.
I'm going Caps all the way. I mean, just as big of a – I mean, they are the powerhouse in the NHL. They had a little bit of a losing streak recently, right? They're like, what, 5-5-1? Since the break, something like that. So, but I also think that's good for us. I think we needed that rough patch because now we'll start kicking it into gear, hopefully, right before the playoffs and go for it. But historically, I'm going to say Caps and Nationals, two of the best franchises in the leagues. I'm going to go with Caps all the way. Paul? Other Paul?
I'm going to go – that's a good question. I'm going to go Wizards, and then let me tell you why. This past week, the Wizards were down many times, and I'm like, you know, that's it. The curse is back. They're going to lose. You know, it's game over. And time and time again, they've kind of proved me wrong. And I've had this, you know, I get this excitement inside of me.
That's not appropriate. You need to compose yourself, sir. I'm going to jump in here, and I'm going to take something out of the Mike Wilbon. You guys can't see this, but everyone's just cracking up because Hakeem's got something inside of him, apparently. I'm going to take a page out of the Michael Wilbon playbook. I'm going to push. I think both these teams can get to their respective finals, Eastern Conference finals, and I think both can make it to their respected actual championship games or rounds. And I still think the Wizards – my prediction is Wizards and Spurs in the finals, and I'll take a shot on the Wizards. The Caps look great, and you know, we don't talk a lot of hockey, and I agree with Paul on this one too. They needed to go through something just to kind of wake them up because they were crushing everybody, it seemed, left and right. So, you know, sometimes you need that reset, and I prefer that it happens now because historically this team tends to reset in the playoffs, and it's soul crushing. So. I think I'm a little bit higher on the Wizards right now, just because the potential opponents they would be facing are not at full strength. Primarily, Cleveland Cavaliers.
Let's okay.
The Wizards right, get me excited, Joe. I'm sorry.
All right, let's grow a pair of balls, or in Paul's situation, enhance his balls and get him more excited. Let's do a book of bets here, okay? Let's go. Who goes further this season? One word, Wizard Caps, $2 bet. I will go Caps. Paul, Fat Paul, you said Caps?
I'm going Caps.
Other two are Wiz?
Wiz.
This season only.
Wizards.
Those
Wizards.
Goes
Give
first.
Me the Wizards.
The, even if one loses first round, the other loses second round. Okay,
yes,
we got two
I understand
caps,
what
two
further
wizards.
Means. Give me the Wizards.
Put it in the book of bets. We need to get a sponsor for the book of bets.
We need an intern too. We need a smoke show intern.
We
definitely need an intern.
In the book.
You know, speaking of smoke shows, did anyone see Justin McLuhan's post today? It looks like Scotty's doing all right. Okay, it looks like he'll be okay.
Did he change his clothes, or is he still rocking the white
kit? Oh, yeah. He's out to dinner, not at Whole Foods, and he's no more our gear.
So by the time we talk Wizards, I don't know, probably in the next couple of days or so, we think they're gonna sweep. Are they gonna finish this road trip out west with five wins in five games? I think so personally.
I think they could do it. Absolutely.
They've had a little bit of trouble with the Timberwolves, but I think they can pull it off.
Well, hopefully that'll be the first thing that we cover in our next podcast. Luckily, we got through this podcast without talking about Joe's half marathon. So I appreciate that from the other guys not bringing that up. That's fantastic. All right, gentlemen, another podcast in the books. We will see you all later on Defeating the Curse.